It's time for America's Promise with Sheldon Emery of Lord's Covenant Church of Phoenix, Arizona. Sit down with your Bible and listen as Pastor Emery preaches the Word of God, the good news of Christ's kingdom, and Bible truths about the United States of America as foretold in prophecy. This is God's promise to America, that the power and works of God lead America to read, believe, and obey Christ's holy commands. During the broadcast, we'll be offering a literature which you may request for your personal study. America's Promise is sponsored by Lord's Covenant Church of Phoenix, Arizona, and interested friends across this great nation. Now, Pastor Sheldon Emery.
Thank you. Yes, this is Pastor Emery. We here in Arizona have recently completed a three-day Bible preaching convention. We had ministers and other speakers from various parts of the nation here for a series of seven public meetings on Bible prophecy. Our church group here hosted the meetings, and we had chosen as our theme for the meetings the 27th verse of Isaiah 14. Turn with me to that passage, and I want to read four verses. These four verses speak very definitely of the sovereignty of God, of the intent and purpose and ability of God to bring to pass that which he has spoken. Starting in verse 24 of Isaiah 14. The Lord of hosts hath sworn, saying, Surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. As I have purposed, so shall it stand, that I will break the Assyrian in my land, and upon my mountains tread him under foot. Then shall his yoke depart from off them, and his burden depart from off their shoulders. This is the purpose that is purposed upon the whole earth, and this is the hand that is stretched out upon all the nations. And then the verse which was given as our preaching theme, For the Lord of hosts hath purposed, and who shall disannul it? And his hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back? This is a very comforting thought, once one begins to grasp this truth, that all of the events of this time are in the hand of God. Jesus said in Matthew 27:18, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. In John 16:33, he said, In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Paul writes to Christian believers in Ephesians 3, and verse 10 and 11, speaking of understanding the Word of God, to the intent that now, under the principalities and powers in heavenly places, might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. In just a moment or so, I am going to turn to the New Testament scriptures to show you how and where we can learn just what it is that God has purposed, and how we can better understand the things which are happening in the earth today, especially in our own nation. First, I want to offer our new packet of free literature for the month of May. I'm going to call this our health packet. I'm not going to be talking too much about health on these programs, but because of all the fuss about flu and vaccinations and epidemics and so forth, I do believe we should try and get this information in your hands as quickly as possible. If you are concerned for your own health and that of your family, you write to me at America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona 85010, and ask for our May packet of literature. It will include such things as an article titled Pestilence in America, which is about the smoking of tobacco. Nearly 300,000 Americans die each year from diseases brought on themselves by the poisons in tobacco. You will also receive a 20-page excerpt from a 900-page book written 100 years ago by one of the last century's most famous American doctors, Dr. Edward B. Foote. We couldn't reproduce it all, but we did take out 20 pages to show that many of the things Dr. Foote taught 100 years ago are of vital importance to us today. There is no question but that the general health of our people has substantially deteriorated in the last 100 years, and this 20-page reprint will give you some of the reasons why. We have another small article on blood transfusions, giving some evidence that blood transfusions probably kill more people than they save, and are very possibly one of the leading sources of disease among accident victims. Doctors seem to have no answer for the tens of thousands of victims of accidents who enter our hospitals each year with injuries which are obviously not fatal, but who, shortly after being given blood transfusions in the hospital, develop any one of several diseases and then die not from the accident injury, but from the disease. In spite of the probability that they may have received the disease through the transfusion of diseased blood, the doctors continue to take the blood from drunks, drug addicts, and from the venereal-infected derelicts on Skid Row, and then transfer that blood into the veins of hospital patients all over America. You will also receive a reprint of several pages of a larger book on vaccinations and inoculations. The larger book is now out of print. We have only a few copies available, and we are reprinting a little of the more pertinent information for our radio listeners. You should read this before you submit yourself or your children to the so-called flu vaccination planned by the medical profession. As of this date, they admit they don't even know for sure what causes the flu, but here they have a vaccine for it already. The same doctors, the same government, the same research laboratories have had millions of cancer patients for their research over a period of more than a quarter of a century, and they seem not to have found what causes it, let alone a cure, but a strange type of flu comes along. They wave their magic wand and presto changeo, abracadabra, they not only have a vaccine for it, they have warehouses full of it, ready to go in less than 90 days. Friends, it just doesn't make sense, neither medical sense nor scientific sense. It may make economic sense at $5 to $15 from every adult in America, but it just doesn't make any medical sense at all. But you send for this month's health packet, and I will practically guarantee you will not let them put the flu poison in your bloodstream under the guise of keeping you from getting the flu. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3:16, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." We are also told in Genesis 9:3 and in God's law not to eat blood. Injecting the infected and diseased blood of animals into your veins by calling it a vaccination doesn't change that blood from unclean to clean. In fact, it may be more dangerous injected into your bloodstream than it would be taken into your digestive tract. In your digestive tract, there are some natural and effective body functions which will throw it off, but injected directly into your blood, it goes immediately to your life organs and deposits the disease and the toxins there. We've some other things in the May health packet. I won't take time to list them here, but they are all free. Just write to me at America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010, and ask for the May health packet. It just may save your life. In John's third epistle, he wrote in verse 2, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." That is my wish for my radio listeners also. That is the reason for this packet. And by the way, we recorded all of the speakers at our Bible conference here in Phoenix. One of them was an hour-long discussion on health, and we'll send you the list of the tapes. You can then write for any which you might want to listen to. My address again, America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. Now, getting back to the Bible, to see how best we can learn what God has purposed upon the earth so that we need not fear in the days and years ahead. We Americans, especially some of us older ones, who now see government directions, laws, edicts, court decisions and opinions, wiping out individual freedom and fastening the chains of dictatorship upon our people, may feel we have good reason to be fearful and afraid of what we see coming to pass. Jesus Christ told his disciples that this present age would close in such a time of terror and tribulation that men's hearts would fail them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. Luke 21:26. He said that in answer to their question as to what the signs would be of his return to the earth. In Matthew 24, which is the parallel passage to Luke 21, Jesus described the end of this age this way, Matthew 24, verse 21. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. It would be the greatest time of trouble the world had ever seen, and no greater would ever come after. Now some Christians read these passages, or hear them preached, and they hope their deliverance will be in their removal from the earth before such a time would ever come to pass. But as Jesus went on in Matthew 24 to continue his answer to the disciples' questions, he referred further to his return to the earth and said this in verse 45 through verse 47. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. So the servants of Christ are supposed to be found giving Christ's household meat in due season when Jesus returns, and they will be rewarded for doing that when he comes. What is this which we are supposed to be doing? Now, the Bible speaks often of meat, and it doesn't always mean physical food. In John 4, verse 32, Jesus said to his disciples, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. When they thought he meant food, he told them in verse 34, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. He enlarged on this further in the 6th chapter in verse 27, Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. In verse 32 and 33, Jesus spoke of himself, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven, for the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. In verse 35 he says, I am the bread of life. So we see here, and in many other places in the New Testament, that meat and bread have a spiritual meaning as well as a literal. In 1 Corinthians 3:2 and again in Hebrews 5, Paul speaks of the deep things of the Word of God as being meat in contrast to the simple things called milk. I believe that most professing Christians in America are fed on milk. They have never gotten into the meat of the Word of God, and many will be greatly terrified of the events which come in the months and years ahead. Understanding the sovereignty of God comes from the meat of the Word. It is the meat, the great and mighty things of God's Word, which we will need in order to stand in these last days. It is understanding what the will of God is and the purpose of God that will give us not only the comfort of His sovereignty, but the power to understand and to stand in the face of adversity and opposition from our enemies. Paul wrote to the Christians in Hebrews 5, somewhat of a rebuke to those who had not searched into the deeper things of the Scriptures. He wrote of Jesus Christ as the new high priest in Israel in the first 10 chapters, and right in the middle of this discourse on Jesus, he inserted this warning to his hearers, starting in verse 11 of chapter 5. Of whom, meaning Jesus, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. Paul said, I have many things to tell you of Jesus, but you can't understand very well. And then he tells them why. Verse 12, for when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Paul said, you should be teachers of God's word. Instead, you have to be taught, and you can't even stand the meat of the word. You've got to be taught with milk all over again. Verse 13, for every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. I would say those verses fit the vast majority of churchgoers. They are fed a steady diet of milk, the simple rudiments of the word of God every week, and they never do get into the meat of God's Bible. Here Paul calls them unskillful in the word of righteousness. He then goes on about the meat of the word, verse 14, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. How about that? The desired result of feeding on the meat of the word is to be able to discern both good and evil. If we are unable to tell the difference between good and evil, why then God's people, even though they are Christians, will make wrong decisions, will do wrong things, and will suffer the consequences of their error. Paul did not say those who were fed on milk were not Christians, but he called them babes. He said they were unskillful in the word of righteousness. To teach the meat of God's word is the purpose of America's Promise radio broadcast. You remember last week, I read an excerpt from a sermon by a minister in early America, and he said that the Americans saw the coming of tyranny at a distance, especially those who were schooled in the books of the prophets. In other words, they could tell the difference between good government and evil government, not because of some sixth sense, but because they had learned God's word in the books of the prophets. And so America must learn God's word today. We must learn the meat of it and not continually keep our people babes in Christ by restricting their diet to milk. Writing to the Corinthians, Paul spoke to them in somewhat the same manner. In chapter 3 he wrote, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. And here is that word babes again. Verse 2, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. And then he goes right on in verse 3 and says, you can't bear it, for ye are yet carnal. In other words, while still being fed on a diet of the milk of the word, they had not developed spiritually. They were not able to learn and understand the things of a spiritual nature. Now, you think with me as I read the next verses of Paul's proof that they were yet carnal. Verse 3 of chapter 3 of Corinthians. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions Are ye not carnal, and walk as men? Today we call those divisions in Christendom denominations. In other words, proof that most of our Christians today are babes, proof that they know little of the meat of the Word of God or of spiritual things, is in their separations or their dividing into groups. Verse 4, For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not yet carnal? Or to read that in today's vernacular, For while one saith, I am a follower of the Baptists, and another saith, I am a follower of the Methodists, are ye not yet carnal? Separation and division in the church today is so common, it is hard to tell a person, you are a Christian, without having to answer with a denominational name. And according to Paul here, the reason they are divided is because they are being fed milk and not meat. And that also answers as to why the denominational churches do not see or understand or preach about the evil and wicked things coming upon our nation and our people. Not being fed meat, they cannot discern between good and evil, just as Paul said in Hebrews 5:14. That is why Jesus stressed so much the necessity of his household being fed with meat in due season. In the first chapter of that letter to the Corinthians, Paul had rebuked the Christians, telling them in verse 10, to all speak the same things, that there be no divisions among you. The margin says that word divisions is schisms, which is the same as our modern word denominations. In verse 12 he says, One says he follows Paul, and one Apollos, and one Cephas, and one Christ. They apparently were already following men, just as in Christendom today, they are divided into all sorts of groups and denominations formed around the teachings of men, instead of being one in Christ and holding to the pure teachings of the Word of God. In the second chapter of that letter, he implies that until they get out from their divisions, they cannot understand the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Verse 7. In verse 10, he calls this mystery, or hidden wisdom, the deep things of God. Paul also referred to this mystery in his letter to the Romans. He is closing the letter, and he writes in verse 25 and 26 thusly, Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, or made known, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. How did Paul say the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, was made known or manifested? Well, by the scriptures of the prophets. What did Paul say of Christians who got into the meat of the word? He said they could discern between good and evil. What did the colonial preacher say? He said Americans discerned the approach of tyranny because they were schooled in the books of the prophets. Putting all of this together that we have covered so far in this broadcast, it seems obvious that the wisdom which American Christians need so badly for this day and this time must come from a study of the scriptures of the prophets. And by and large, that is exactly what they are not getting in the denominations. Meat in due season is prophecy for the time in which we live. End time prophecy preached in the end time, if you please. And that is what we shall preach as God gives us strength and wisdom to do so. This is Pastor Sheldon Emery. God Almighty has stated rather clearly his power to bring about his will in the earth. At the same time, he has told us this age would end with a terrible time of trouble which would involve believers. And Jesus Christ and his disciples have pointed us to the scriptures of the prophets where we may gain understanding and calm our fears. If you will continue to listen to these broadcasts, you will see from God's words spoken through his prophets that all of that which we see happening in America today is written in the Bible. You need only change your diet from the milk of the Word to the meat of the Word in order to see it, and that meat is in Bible prophecy. Write to me for the May Health Packet. I'll not be saying too much about that packet on the next broadcast. I want to spend as much time as possible on prophecy, but some of these things in the packet are of utmost importance to you at this time. My address is America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. And you older listeners, you folks who have listened to me for some time on many of these radio stations, you remember us in your prayers and with your offerings. We continue to preach and exhort as you give and pray for this radio ministry. In the May packet, you will receive information on how the violation of God's health laws brings illness and disease, information on the danger of vaccinations through the puncturing of your skin to inject a disease of animal poisons directly into your blood, a 20-page excerpt from a 900-page book on health published in 1873, and other material of interest. This is all free and postpaid to you, but when you write, remember what I said about helping us. The address again, America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. The announcer will repeat that address in just a moment. Next week, God willing, we shall turn to the books of the prophets. Until I return then, this is Pastor Emery saying goodbye. God bless you, read your Bibles, and pray for Christian America.
You have been listening to America's Promise. If you would like Pastor Emery to continue broadcasting on this station, please write to him at America's Promise, Post Office Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona. America must hear God's Word preached in this hour of trial. When you write, please ask for the literature you would like. You will also receive a list of other literature available, a catalog of several hundred Bible sermons and radio broadcasts on tape, and the current log of radio stations where you or friends may hear America's Promise. Pastor Emery's address again, America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. That's America's Promise, Post Office Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. Be with Pastor Emery next week at this same time. Tell your friends of the broadcast, and thank you for listening.